Welcome back, everyone, and we have another exciting episode in our team analysis series, Clubs in Days, which we love. My name is Willow, and I am joined by Mel today to discuss the Adelaide Crows.
Yes, one of my favourite sides. Very experienced side, the Adelaide Crows, which means that their finishing sixth last season probably felt pretty disappointing to them. They had 7 wins and 112 percentage, but overall, this was one of the first years that the Crows haven't made the top four or finals since 2020, I believe.
Yeah, it's arguably, as you say, a big disappointment for the Crows, and it could be the start of a slide, but they've got still got a really good list, so
yeah.
it's hard to write off the Crows.
Yes, this is probably the start of a slide, but I really don't want that to be true, so we're going for the optimistic spin, in that they have been a highly successful side for a while, and they hopefully will continue to be. So what happened for the Crows in 2025? It's not like they were particularly worse. It kind of more feels like everyone else got slightly better around them because they have been so dominant for a while. And with the rule changes to faster footy, I mean, this was what was making the Crows so great for a long time, was their kind of their fast footy. And with a lot of clubs adjusting their game style to match this last season, Adelaide just kind of didn't stand out in the way that they have in the past, which is probably quite disappointing for them. Although, we do have an exciting area for the Crows coming this season in that they have a new coach. So, they are coming in finally with a new coach, which could be great timing or it could be terrible timing. But, yeah, we'll see what kind of impact that has on whether or not they can reach back up towards the top of the ladder this season. So, yeah, Ryan Davis will be an interesting watch and wait, I guess, to see what he does with this otherwise quite experienced and fairly well-placed Crows side.
Yeah, it's a monumental shift, really, having a new coach after all this time.
Because there's a lot of other change that we're about to talk through with the trades.
Yeah, I mean, Matthew Clark's been there since 2019 and won 2 flags in that time. It's big shoes to fill for Ryan Davis. But as you say, I think it probably is the right time for them to have a bit of a fresh voice at the club. And a lot of that's got to do with the fact that the midfield is going to look very different this year.
Yeah. So, like, what makes Adelaide great? Their midfield is fantastic. They're pretty strong against all lines, really. But their midfield core has been one of the things that has made them elite. And there's a lot of changes coming. So, when we think about last year's CBA rotations, we had Anne Hatchard in there quite a bit, Brooke Boileau, Danielle Ponta as well. These were their 4th, 5th and 6th most CBA attending players last season, and they're all not going to be there this season. So we've had Anne Hatchard traded to the Gold Coast, Brooke Boileau traded to Carlton, and Danielle Ponta is inactive due to pregnancy. So that is a big kind of gap in the midfield to see what comes through. Exciting for opportunity to get some other players in there, maybe some younger players as well, but like, oof, that is a big shift to the game plan. And then as well, Chelsea Randall has retired, which is a huge blow. Chelsea Randall was such a strong, fearless, impressive player who has just been such a rock at the Crows for a long time. With her retiring, we've got Stevie Lee Thompson, another experienced player, retiring, and Zoe Prowse being traded to Essendon. They're losing a stoppage clearance player, a disputer, and an interceptor all in that, as well as their midfield shakeup. This is just a lot of change for the Crows, and the pessimistic side is it's going to be tricky to see how they deal with so much change at once, but they have also been a great club for a long time for a reason. So they've probably got the resilience and the connection amongst all of the other players to bring this through.
Yeah, there's so much change going on at the club, including, as we've said, a new captain. Ebony Marinoff was a co-captain, of course, but is now the full-time captain. But we've had the chance to talk with one of their previous captains in Sarah Allen. Jono had that interview, so we will now throw to that.
All right. Welcome, Sarah Allen, to the Free Kick Podcast. We are so excited to have you here with us today. How's the return to preseason been so far?
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, it's been an awesome start to pre-season. Obviously with a fresh start with like obviously new coach, a lot of new players and stuff like that. So it's really been exciting to get back in into our official kit and get going for the year.
Yeah, I mean, there has been so much change at the Crows this offseason. You've picked up on a big one there with Coach Matthew Clark stepping down last season. This will be your first under new coach Ryan Davis. Can you tell us a little bit about your first impressions of Ryan?
It's obviously a huge change. Obviously, having Doc for I think it was 7 years was obviously then to change coaches. It's like a big change after so many years, but obviously it's great having Ryan come into the program. He's a ball of energy and just really excited to coach us. So obviously we are first year coach for like AFLW for a head coach, but he's got a wealth of experience and really excited to play under him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's had a lot of success over at the Brisbane program recently. So it must be exciting to have him in with new ideas and I suppose a fresh set of game plan ideas. He's talked a lot about how the game is getting faster in the media, with sort of less stoppages, more time in transition. But is there what can we, I suppose, expect from Adelaide this season? Are there big changes coming in how you're playing?
I think it'll obviously take some time for us with a new coach to sort of make those changes. But I think, yeah, definitely. Like, I think you can see it with the men's game as well. It just keeps getting faster. Obviously, with like certain rules and stuff, they want, speed in the game. So I think you've definitely got to be with the curb with that. So definitely trying to utilize our speed on the game. But I think, yeah, definitely it will be a process, but we'll definitely try and start implementing some of that stuff this year.
Yeah. I think he arrives at a really interesting point in Adelaide's journey. Unfortunately, last year was actually the first time you've fallen outside of the top four for the first time in a while. But there were games against Brisbane and Hawthorn mid-season where you definitely showed you were more than capable of matching it with sides that did end up in the top four. It was more just some uncharacteristic losses to Richmond, St Kilda that really cost you with, I suppose, that top four spot you usually do hold down. How do you go about reflecting on last season?
I think it's because of the like all the changes. I think you sort of it helped move on pretty quickly because obviously, yeah, a new coach, new players. Every year it's a new team, but I feel like this year obviously we had a fair lot of draft picks and players come over. So I think it's yeah, it sort of probably helps move on from last year quickly because you it's a new situation we're in. But obviously you still reflect like we're still majority of that team is here, so it's like still making sure we don't want to end up in that same position. But yeah, I think just because of the fresh start. It sort of gives you that opportunity to move on pretty quickly.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. Well, let's jump into some of those new players then, because you've picked up so many new players in the offseason. And it's one of the most exciting things about, the new season. You get to see all these new players come in and make such an immediate impact. Last year, we saw India Rashid have, a fantastic debut season, for instance. What have you made of the young group that was drafted last season?
Yeah, I think it's the first time we've ever really had that many girls drafted. So it's great to see some young girls come into the team. I think as well we've probably obviously traditionally we've always drafted girls from South Australia just because that's the way the draft was set up. But we've got girls coming in from WA, Victoria, and that sort of thing. So coming over from different states, moving their lives, sacrificing a lot. So it's been great to see their development. They've been pretty lucky to have a journey. They were all able to play footy from a young age, have the state program set up for them and stuff. So it's really exciting to see the talent coming through the pathways. And just yeah, they're just all really exciting coming into our program and now starting their journey as professional athletes. And it's really exciting to see.
Yeah. I feel like the ready-made player is such a different thing to what it was, back when you started, I guess, where these players are coming in, having played all the way through. It's really impressive what they're able to do. A lot of them are, I suppose, midfielders. It's probably the most midfielders you've drafted in a long time. And it's kind of interesting to see that that's happening, given all the departures that have happened in the off-season as well. Are any of them, I suppose, putting their hands up to try and step in immediately and maybe make an impact early in that role?
I think just, yeah, with the big changes in our team, like obviously you don't know how it's going to go, but I definitely have been very impressed with the girls coming in. And, you just, yeah, you never know. We've got trial games coming up and stuff. So they have an opportunity to put their best foot forward. And obviously that will be up to what the coaches decide, but definitely see some really impressive players coming through.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's not just the young players that have come in. You've also brought in some more established talent with Grace Egan coming across from Richmond. How has she blended into the group so far this preseason?
Yeah, really, really well. Obviously, she comes with a heap of knowledge from playing at other clubs, so it's great to have that experience coming in. And obviously, yeah, been in AFLW a while as well, so she's got a great the wealth of knowledge. And yeah, just for her to be able to come into our playing group, yeah, another player from another state. So just you bring different experiences, and I think that helps with our group, who's been predominantly South Australian. So I think she's been a great addition. Yeah. Great on the track as well, but also great just being like a great personality around our group as well, which is really important for our culture.
Yeah, it's always good to have those sort of glue players who bring everyone together. You did mention just before, though, that the match simulations and the preseason games coming up, there seems to be more this year than there usually are. I mean, how do you feel about that? I feel like that's an opportunity just to play more football is always great, but I mean, how is that going to impact your preseason generally?
Yeah, I think for us, like, just because we want to play more games, you just sort of take what you can get. Like, we're just excited to play more footy. Obviously then it go like probably buys into a bit of your pre-season time, but it gives you the opportunity to learn on the job, really. So I think for our group, it's going to be great for our development. And yeah, we're just happy to take whatever opportunity comes our way.
Yeah, fantastic. Now, just to switch back, I suppose, to some of the players coming in this season. I think one thing we saw last season was a few injuries to some pretty important players, which I know they're not necessarily new players to the team, but I feel like they're going to change the dynamic of how you play. There were two in particular that I thought were pretty nasty hits last season. First was to Hannah Munyard with her ankle break in that opening round. And the second was Chelsea Randall, who had so many concussion issues. I'm really hoping that they're fit and healthy this preseason.
Yeah, obviously, like, it was very disappointing last year. There's probably like various other players as well that sort of had impacted seasons, but obviously, yeah, really excited to have everyone out on the track for this preseason. Obviously Chelsea's on, like, that was a journey last year with her concussion, and obviously, she was dealing with that as she had to, but following all the right procedures and that sort of thing. But yeah, it's great to be back out for pre-season, just have a fresh start, and really let players get going for this year. And obviously that was what happened last year, but then yeah, obviously get a fresh start for this year.
Yeah, fantastic. And Hannah Munyard, she's running well.
Yeah, she's great trainer as well. Great to have her out at training. She's so fast and her speed, and always hard to defend. So she's great teammate to have out there to practice on.
Yeah, I feel like she's built for the sort of faster transition game that's going on right now. So it's great to have
Yeah,
her around.
definitely.
Yeah. And I suppose without those two, and with injuries to Caitlin Gould as well, it looked like a very different forward line last season, I suppose different faces coming in, and then even more of those players that were there, and Anne Hatchard and Danielle Ponta or Daniel Peters these days, stepping out this off season. I suppose what's is this whole forward line mix is going to be completely different in 2026.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, obviously it was a huge loss last year with like losing Caitlin Gould for most of the season as well. But obviously it's great to have her, height and her, aerial ability for our team. But yeah, obviously with yeah, different changes, it's probably an area that might have a bit of change, obviously just with the personnel. But it's really exciting. Like, obviously we spoke about speed and stuff like that, so we just need to use what players we have available. And we back our depth in our team, so we know anyone can sort of play those roles. So just really excited to sort of see what that's like for us this year.
And I suppose that is a growing part of the AFLW is having that role flexibility so that when player does go down, you have new other players who can sort of step in and have experience in that role. Has that sort of role flexibility been a focus this off-season at all?
I think just naturally with the new coach, you sort of you might get seen differently and stuff like that. So I think just being open to playing different roles and stuff like that. Obviously, like you're gonna have natural abilities and that sort of thing. But I think just when a new coach comes in, you're just sort of very open to what's just playing under a new coach. So I think you got to put your best self forward and just be really coachable and and I think that would be great for our group moving forward.
Yeah, no, fantastic. I guess that's a good question there. Is that the I suppose at your end of the ground, your defense has been so set and so strong for such a long time, and you've been such a big part of that for so long. You've got a new coach in, and I'm sure that there are things you want to focus on in your own game, but what does that look like, 10, 11 seasons into the AFLW?
It's crazy. You just sort of like each preseason, you sort of like it's crazy when you think about how long you've been there for. But yeah, I think every year, like the game's changing. Every year, different players are in and out. Obviously, like yeah, you just sort of adapt. I think that's the most exciting probably thing about football is it's not the same thing every year. The game, yeah, changes. You got to adapt with it. You got to keep building on your craft, even just with forwards, like the amount of forward craft that has developed since the first season. Like obviously, those first few years we were sort of just learning, and then now it's like forwards. We were speaking about it the other day. Like forwards are just getting so good with their craft, and it's you have a lot more time to focus on your skills and that sort of thing. So you've got really got to respect your opponent, but then also play, attacking footy that you want to play as a defender as well. So you've got a lot to work on. So just it's you're just always evolving.
Yeah. I suppose that's the mindset that leads to a career like yours at the Crows with the three premierships, the three All Australians. It's been very, very impressive. One thing I thought I'd ask is that just last week you decided to step down from the role of co-captain at the Adelaide Crows. Definitely caught us by surprise a little bit. Can you tell us what led to that decision?
Yeah, I think a lot of people didn't probably realize like I got put into leadership really early on in my career. So I've actually been doing it for 8 seasons. So I think it's probably something like I got yeah put into it really young in my career. Very grateful for how much it's helped me develop as a person and as a player and as a teammate. But I think it's sort of you get to the like you don't really know how long your career is going for, and obviously like players are playing for longer, but for me it's sort of like I'm get one of the older players now, and I think just it's got to a point where I just want to focus on my footy, and like make sure I'm enjoying myself. Obviously, like it's not saying you can't enjoy your footy as a leader, but there's a lot that goes on behind the scenes that I don't think people sort of realize go on. A lot of the stuff you sort of have to help deal with to make sure the footy clubs keeps going. So it and it comes to a point where it's like we've got so many great emerging leaders, and it's like it's really like I'm really excited to see some of those players step into those roles, and it's time for them to start that journey, and me stepping away allows for a spot to open up. But we've got great leaders at our club, and I have full belief in who are going to be our leaders this year. And yeah, I think it's just comes to a point where you just sort of want to make sure you're performing the best you can for your team, and if that means taking a step back to move forward, I think it was the right decision, and very happy about that.
Yeah. No, I mean, that sounds fantastic. It sounds like you've made a good decision there. And you're right. I feel like there's no lack of leadership at the Crows. So that's it's definitely a good season for opportunity with the new coach, the new players, and everything that's going on. Well, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I just have the one question left for you today. It's who have you been the most excited watching on the track this preseason and look set for a big season in 2026?
It's hard to not favor the defenders, but I think a player who has been on a bit of a journey, but I've always been really impressed by how she trains through the preseason. I think especially this year is Brooke Tonnen. I think she's a very explosive player. She's a very highly skilled player and hasn't really probably played a lot more games last year, but still, yeah, just sort of gets moved around a bit. But So she's very, like, obviously great utility, but I think for her, I think this year is going to be exciting for her to step into her next level of I think what she can do for our team, and I think she's going to have a huge impact.
Yeah, no, it's great to hear. I think this is second season in a row. We've heard about Brooke Tonin's. She must have just an amazing track record at training. But it
Great
was a great.
great. Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Yeah, no, you go. You go.
No, yeah, I think she's just like a great, like obviously a very highly skilled footballer. Yeah, I think really does great in pre-season. And I think just, yeah, that sort of has got thrown around a bit in previous years, which it is hard as a younger player to sort of find your spot. So I think if, yeah, she can get like sort of get a consistent like sort of position, I think that would really help. But yeah, anywhere we throw her, she's a great player. But I think just to give her that confidence to back herself.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like sometimes versatility can be a downfall because you just don't get to hone in on a lot of those skills that you want to develop. Yeah, but no, it's great seeing her come out last season and really, you know, get some regular game time and really impress. So I'm looking forward to another step in 2026. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, and good luck for your 2026 season with the Adelaide Crows. I hope it's a good, fun one for you.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Very, very interesting stuff there. Always great to talk with the Adelaide players because they're such an interesting club. Just realised we didn't actually talk about any of the ins of the club, but I think that'll be something we can talk about in this next section. But what were your takeaways from that interview, Mel?
Yeah, it really time dates for when we've done the interview because hearing that Chelsea Randall was fit in training is not what we know to be the case anymore. This was, I think that interview was maybe the day of her retirement announcement. So we did not get a lead in. But fair to mention that she's fit and training anyway. I'm sure she's training for the rest of her life instead.
Very good.
But yeah, interesting to hear that this is the most, I think Sarah mentioned as well, the most draftees that they've had in a while. So lots of ins, five players from the national draft to replace a lot of those kind of trades that we mentioned before. Lots of fresh faces coming through. We've got Grace Egan as well coming over from Richmond, who will slot in nicely to kind of Anne Hatchard's role in the midfield. But this is probably one of the biggest years of turnover that the Crows have had as well, just in terms of absolute new draftees. So it's going to be an exciting season. I also do quite enjoy that Brooke Tonin is a player to watch. I think she might have popped up previously as a player to watch.
I believe that might be the case. But we'll jump into the top five now. And I think the number one pick is probably not going to surprise many people.
Shockingly, it's Noffy. Ebony Marinoff, how could you go past her? I mean, she started off last season as the highest averaged fantasy player, which had a bit of a risky flag on her because the only way from that status is down. Coming in at priced at 127.9, she's the second highest fantasy average player, I believe. That's still a fantastic score. I mean, there's a lot of shuffles, so it without her partner in crime when she was in the midfield, Anne Hatchard, it'll be interesting to see if there's any kind of dampeners on Noffy's performance with a shuffle through the core group. But Noffy is absolutely elite. She is everywhere at once. She loves that she loves getting the ball. She loves disposing of the ball in any way she can to get those extra kicks and hand passes. She's just an elite player and an elite fantasy player. So I think it'll be interesting to see if people pick her or another very highly averaged midfielder. And maybe this is the season that everyone doesn't start with Noffy, but she is such a lock if you choose to go down that path. She's a great starting midfielder for your elite spot.
Yeah, I mean, it's Ebony Marinoff. I think it really speaks for itself, no notes. I guess, yeah, the price with Noffy is always the flag, if it is a flag, but didn't drop below 100 for the entirety of last season. I mean, the consistency speaks for itself. I guess the only query is how that Adelaide midfield is gonna look, how Ryan Davis plans to use what's around Ebony Marinoff, but I mean, we know Ebony Marinoff is Ebony Marinoff. They'll get the ball no matter what's happening. They tackle, they do it all. Got involved in the defensive transition last year, so a lot of intercept marks as well. I think it's the sort of thing where even if Marinoff does end up dropping a 10 points off that average, you still have got 117 averaging midfielder. I think the money isn't a big concern.
Yep, agree. To your point, though, who else is going to step into the midfield? For pick number two, I've gone with Tia Charlton. So priced at 55 as a mid forward. She was on the long list of CBAs last season, down below, you know, Noffy, Sarah Goodwin, and a lot of the players that have left. But we did see her playing a little bit of time, yeah, in the midfield across a few seasons, although predominantly forward. But if the absence of midfielders means that Tia Charlton gets bumped up the ranks a little bit there and gets a bit more midfield time, that could be particularly exciting given that she is only priced at 55 and can be put on your forward spot, forward line. I think this does come down to a watch and wait to see who is in the midfield come some of those match sims and pracky games. But if we see glimpses of Tia Charlton, she could be one whose average goes up substantially from more midfield time.
Yeah, Tia Charlton to me, it seems crazy to call a player who's played like 60 to 70 games a breakout player, but still only 23, I think, is something that people kind of forget. And we've been waiting for so long for Tia Charlton to become that explosive midfielder that we know she can be from juniors. And they're never going to get a better opportunity this year, I think. As you say, I think Danielle Ponter is the key here. That's the sort of player that I think Charlton can emulate. And price at just 55, I mean, I can see it definitely a 10-point rise here. The forward status really, really helps, let's be honest.
Yes. And so pick number three is someone who, if there was a forward status, mid-defender status, that would be fantastic. But I've gone with Sarah Goodwin, averaging or priced at 68.8. So she is someone that we saw move out of defence and into a bit more of a CBA role at the back end of last season, and that did absolutely wonders for her fantasy scoring. She put up some absolutely huge ceiling scores of 116 and 117, which, given she's priced at just under 70, that is phenomenal. But I think another watch and wait, where is she going to be this season? So if Zoe Prowse has left the side, is Sarah going to be needed to go back into defence a bit more and use her kind of intercepting skills in that role? Or is she going to be able to, like, stay in a midfield and be a bit more rotation through there? What's the mix of those two going to be? Like, it's probably going to be both, but what's the mix going to be? And given that she's listed as a midfielder, I mean, it would be great if she was listed not as a midfielder and then we could get some upside. So I just, there's a little flag within this, but I think that she could be another one who, that ceiling is just too hard to go past.
Yeah, I think that's the big difference here with Sarah Goodwin, as you say. It's an awkward price, like just below 70. It is a mid price, but geez, 116, 117 is pretty elite areas. And yeah. I don't see a huge reason why she would move out of that midfield considering the losses they've had through there. Mm. Hard to say with a new coach, but yeah, I think she's a really, really interesting one. Would be a very unique pick as well. I think that Goodwin is going to be a player that probably, you know, after the breakout last season as a defender, you're probably going to see a lot of people steering clear. But I think it's a sneaky one. I actually don't mind it at all.
Mm. I mean, unique is not what people aim for with their starting squad. But if that is your strategy.
I mean, let's be honest. You and I, maybe. But
that's why we're probably not
the
well.
Yeah, we're not the best two people to be guiding you into the, you know, the standard, what you need to do. We're going speculative and it's probably not going to work, but if it does, it's exciting. Speaking of speculative, we've got a second year breakout potential player in at number four.
Yeah, so one of the youngins that's come through Adelaide recently who has shown what she's made of on the field and been able to find a spot in the squad that has otherwise been very experienced and well jammed is India Rashid. So she's coming in averaged 43.7, listed as a forward. She had the second most marks on the lead at the Crows, and I think she really proved herself as that marking half forward role, especially in some of Caitlin Gould's absences last season. Obviously, I'm assuming Gould is coming back in for the whole season and will be fit, but I think she really did kind of prove herself in those few games, and I can see her being advancing again after another kind of preseason and having more certainty in the game. I think that there was going to be potential shuffling and pulling people from other lines to slot them a bit more into the midfield. So I can see India Rashid having a more dominant role in the forward line this coming season. Her price, you know, slightly bit higher than a rookie, bit more mid-price madness vibe. But I think she is probably the best forward pick at the Crows.
Yeah, I agree. I think Eloise Jones was probably the main player up there last season. And Eloise Jones has always been a very up and down player. Scores really, really well one game. Scores really, really poorly in another one. So I'd probably steer clear there. Caitlin Gould, as you said, I think is a really interesting fantasy prospect. But coming off that injury, I probably wouldn't worry. So I think India Rashid really does have the most upside. And we love a second year breakout, a super talented young player. I think there's at least 10 points of upside there. Could be one of those stepping stone players that you use to gain a quick amount of money early in the season and then move on to either a rookie or jump up to another player. But I think it's one of those ones where if you're looking for someone that's a bit cheaper just to make your pricing work, I actually think that's quite an interesting option in your forward line.
Yeah. And number five, I always run out of steam by the time I get to five. I'm like, oh, who are we going to pick? So this is where the most...
Well, this is probably the big in for the Adelaide Crows, which we, again, forgot to talk about. My fault as the host. But one of the main ins is a pure midfielder that could make an immediate impact. Mel?
Grace Egan, who's coming over from Richmond, priced just under 70 and listed as a midfielder. I think that this one really raises the question to me of how is Ryan Davis going to use the outside runners? Is Grace Egan going to be a bit more of a Hatchie replacement in that midfield role? In which case, you know, if Anne Hatchard was getting 81, that's a pretty substantial headroom kind of potential just on the role alone. And I think Grace Egan has what it takes to be elite midfielder. But where is this kind of midfield point distribution going to go? Are we going to see rather someone like a Madison Newman, who's averaging 75.6, who looked fantastic in that role last season? We've also got Neve Kelly, who's averaging 57. So I'm not really sure exactly where Grace's role is going to fit in. And she's kind of a tough average, tough price coming in kind of between those two, all listed as midfielders. So I think this will be another one to watch, but flagging that she has now this potential to step into a very prominent role at a fantastic club that uses their midfielders very well. So that could be a good sign.
Yeah, I think she's a really interesting comparison to Sarah Goodwin, because we see Grace Egan mostly as a genuine sort of centre bounce midfielder. Had a really good season at Richmond a couple of years back where she averaged 81. So that's probably what you're looking at in terms of like the upside. I think the main problem for me with Grace Egan is the direct comparison with Sarah Goodwin is there's not really that ceiling there. Mm. Only really scored, you know, a handful of scores over 100 across her career, with a high score of 112 back in season 8 when she did average that 81. I think that...
That is a few years ago, though.
Exactly. I think it's that comparison where, like, we see Goodwin as that defender, so you're worried about it in that sense. But I think that Goodwin's midfield potential is higher, but I think the consistency is probably there more with Grace Egan. It's going to be a fascinating one. And to me, this probably says that your answer is just pick Ebony Marinoff as the midfielder, to be honest.
She's only a little bit more expensive.
Yeah, only a little bit more expensive, only averages double what these two do. But, you know, it's an interesting call. But yeah, for the host special, I've decided to wade into that murky market of midfielders at the Crows to throw up an option, which I will give credit where credit's due. This is a Jono pick. Jono has been incredibly interested in this player. And it's Chloe Bone, who was the high draft pick that Adelaide took last season, thanks to that trade with Anne Hatchard in particular, getting the draft picks from the Suns. But priced at just 26, so genuinely rookie priced, a bit more expensive than your bottom prices, coming in at 280K. But the stats from her under 18s year are crazy good. Averaged a whopping 125 in the Coates League. That's Noffy areas.
Wow.
That's Noffy areas. And just a solid 100 to 101 in the under-18s carnival. So up against the best of the best in that carnival, still pushing that 100. Knows how to get the ball, and we know there are spots in that Adelaide midfield. An explosive, powerful midfielder. Put it this way, if she plays, that's a cash cow going there. But I will flag that we've probably said similar things about players like Tia Charlton in the past. But based on what we know, I mean, if she's in that team, sounds like a very, very good chance to at least make some money early. So I think a very, very good player for your bench is Chloe Bone.
Love it. You've convinced me.
Yeah, well, Jono convinced me. So I think that this is a free kick special more so than a host special. I do want to give out a shout out to another Jono special one, which is Hannah Munyard, who played an exceptional game of football in round one to score 64 points from 58% game time and then unfortunately got quite severely injured and didn't play again. So an interesting one for your forward as well.
I mean, and of the few players that we heard Sarah talk about in the interview up the top, Chelsea Randall fit, not super helpful information for us, but also Hannah Munyard is fit in training. So that sounds like good news if you want to go specky on Hannah Munyard.
Sounds like good news. Hopefully we don't get a retirement from Hannah Munyard in the coming
surprise
week.
Surprise retirement.
immediately after we said this. But yeah, Adelaide, super fascinating team. They've got a new coach, which will be really interesting how to play. So basically the takeaway from Adelaide is just pick Ebony Marinoff. Yeah, I think we'll leave it there. But as we said, fascinating team, Adelaide. We are now getting into the pointy end in our team previews, which is very exciting. Many more to come still. So keep an eye out on the socials for all of the upcoming content. You'll also see our best 21 there. We also have an analysis article for the Adelaide Crows on our Substack that you can read, which will give you a bit more detail into what we think is going to happen at the Crows. Otherwise, once again, just go pick Noffy. Yeah, so this has been our latest Clubs in Days series episode. I've been Willow. I've been joined by the wonderful Mel. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Bye.